Happy Monday to you, and thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. I'm your host, Double T Travis there. Got a great show lined up for you on this Monday evening. Big week ahead in hometown sports as the IHSAA Boys Basketball State Tournament will get underway tomorrow night. We'll spend a majority of the show breaking down the sectionals that involve our area teams. Before we do that, got to get to a couple things that happened over the weekend or just some recent hometown sports headlines. So let's start with the IHSAA Boys Swimming and Diving State Finals. Had three young men from the area compete in Indianapolis at the state finals. Milan's Dylan Thomas finishing 16th in the 100-yard backstroke, a time of 52.63 seconds. This was his third straight state finals appearance. That is a school record. So Dylan Thomas, one of the most decorated athletes in Milan High School history, going out with a 16th place finish at the state finals. East Central's Henry Strotman, he was 22nd in the 50-yard freestyle, 21.6 seconds. And Oldenburg Academy's freshman, Nash King, I should throw that in there, placed 14th in the 500-yard freestyle, 4 minutes and 43 seconds and some change. Pretty good showing by Nash King in his first appearance at the state finals. You would think as a freshman, finishing 14th, could only go up from there. So congratulations again to those three young men getting to the state finals and performing well, representing Southeastern Indiana very well at the state finals. Do have a few things I want to get to in high school basketball before we talk about sectional play. Before we get to that, just wanted to say congratulations, and this is a cool thing that the South Dearborn cheer team got to do. Actually, yesterday, they performed at the Indiana Pacers game, which was a 133-111 win over the Dallas Mavericks, but pretty cool experience for the SD cheer team to get out on the court at Gainbridge Fieldhouse yesterday and perform in front of thousands of fans before tip-off of that NBA game. If you want to read more about that, see a photo, head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. You can find that story on the sports tab. And a couple of notes in high school hoops before we talk sectional play. Wanted to say congratulations again to Cole Henry and Cam Craig. We've been talking about them during our regular programming. 1,000 career points, both of those young men hitting that milestone fairly recently, and both juniors, both star players for their teams. Cole Henry, he got his 1,000th point in grand fashion as he got a pretty sweet dunk for 1,000. Cam Craig didn't get a dunk, but he did get a breakaway layup to eclipse the 1,000 career point mark in his great career thus far at Switzerland County. So these are two kids that might be on a collision course at the sectional. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up later on. In girls basketball, Franklin County's Nicole Mears, Jacksonville's Reagan Hughes, named to the HBCA Regional All-Star Team, which means they are going to be invited to participate in the All-Star Game, which is going to be on Sunday, April 7th at Hatchet House at Washington High School. That is the annual All-Star Classic put on by the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association. But no doubter for Nicole Mears being on this team, one of the best in the EIAC, averaging close to 18 points per game and almost 8 rebounds. She is going to go off to Transylvania University to play college ball. And then for Reagan Hughes, the second leading scorer for Jacksonville, sectional champs again this season, 12 points per game, averaged 3 rebounds, 2 steals, and a little over 1 assist per game. So very well deserving for those two young ladies. They will be joined by Carly Adams out of Greensburg, the lone senior on that Pirates team, by the way. Those three will be the local representation on the East squad when the All-Star Classic happens again on April 7th. More details over at EagleCountryOnline.com. And one more thing. Again, we're going to get to a sectional basketball talk, but I got to go back to Friday and talk a little bit about the East Central Greensburg boys basketball game. Regular season finale. A lot was on the line for Greensburg. They just simply had to win, and they were the outright EIAC champion. Had East Central won the game, three-way tie would have occurred between the Trojans, Pirates, and the Batesville Bulldogs. But it was Greensburg coming away with the win in the end, winning in overtime. The final score, not indicative of how close this game was. Quite frankly, East Central led pretty much the entire game and had it fall by the wayside in the fourth quarter. Greensburg ends up winning by 9 points, making their free throws down the stretch. And that was kind of the whole story of the game, beyond the championship story. It was down the stretch, East Central had a lead and had some opportunities to go to the free throw line and ice the game, and they could not do that. They let Greensburg hang around. Drew Busick was fantastic in the fourth quarter, made some big shots from behind the arc, got into the paint, scored, got himself to the free throw line as well. So again, Greensburg deserves some credit for coming back in this game and making shots down the stretch. I know it's a game that is going to stick in the minds of the East Central players, coaches, and probably the fans as well, because the conference championship was well within their grasp. And again, it just didn't happen, came up a little bit short, largely because of the issues at the free throw line. But I will say this about East Central. I do want to say some positive things about them in this game and not harp on the free throws too much. The defense they played in this game was absolutely fantastic, especially in the first half. They held a very good Greensburg team to 13 points at the half. Sure, the offense started to click for both teams a little bit more in the second half, but the effort, the intensity that they played with on the defensive end and making things very difficult for some really good players on that Greensburg team, I thought was a job well done and something that deserves to be applauded. I also wanted to give a big shout out to Peyton Hofer. I thought he made some really big shots in this game and looked like he was maybe going to be the hero there for a while when East Central did have that lead late in the fourth quarter. But again, I thought a great effort from East Central. Sure, Greensburg had a great effort as well coming from behind to win the EIAC, but I wanted to at least give a little analysis of that game before we jump into our sectional talk, which is going to be coming up right after this short break. You're listening to Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. Welcome back to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. OrthoSensi.com for all the information you need about their fantastic doctors and physicians. And you just heard from one of them, Dr. Gordon Yun. If you ever have any foot or ankle problems, he is the man to get in touch with. I'm Double T Travis Thayer, the proud host of this show. Been loving doing Crunch Time from the very get-go. It's awesome to be able to come on the radio every Monday and talk for 30 minutes about hometown athletics. I don't know that there's a ton of communities throughout the state that do something like this. I don't know really off the top of my head. I focus on this show and not other people's shows, but to be able to highlight hometown sports, athletes, teams, I think it's pretty cool, and hopefully everybody out there enjoys the show, whether you listen to it live every Monday or you download the podcast over at EagleCountryOnline.com. It is certainly much appreciated. And this time of the year, really, really fun to get on the radio and talk because I love basketball, and there is no better basketball or fun times watching basketball, calling basketball games than the Indiana State Tournament. I think for a lot of us, our love for basketball stems from playing at an early age or maybe just watching, having somebody that you know on the local high school team, whatever it might be. For a lot of us, we always wanted to be out on that floor, maybe eventually did get out on that floor, and playing high school basketball, really, really fun. And while my playing days well behind me, I've had such a great time being a broadcaster and being a part of these games, trying to tell a story over the last 8 years, and very much looking forward to how things are going to shape up this week during the sectional round. Now, we're going to be calling games starting out at Class 3A Sectional 29 at Greensburg. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in just a second, but if you've listened to the show before, you know that I like to go from 4A down, so we will start with Class 4A. Sectional 14, I believe, off the top of my head, at East Central, and the Trojans lucky enough to get a bye, so they're already into the semifinals, and I would say they're on the side of the bracket that is a little bit easier, for maybe a lack of a better term. Again, when I say things like that, that is based on the numbers that are presented, the numbers that are in front of me. I look at the Sagarin a bunch, obviously the polls that are out there as well, but quite frankly, the top two teams in the East Central Sectional are on the bottom half of the bracket, that being Franklin and Whiteland. So East Central gets a good draw, obviously already in the semifinals. They're 11-13 on the season. We just talked about them a little bit with that Greensburg game they played on Friday. I think when you look at this East Central team, Dylan Maxwell and Carson Pazonka are the ones that make the wheels go round offensively. I mentioned Peyton Hofer and how he was able to shoot the ball really well at Greensburg on Friday. Joel Richter, Eli Sellhorst, two others that can really shoot it. And Eli Ertl has played really well underneath. So if they can get an efficient fourth scorer in any one of their sectional games, that's going to make them a tough out. We talked about how gritty they are defensively. They attack you on offense. They want to go downhill. They'll play fast at times, opportunistic, getting out in the fast break. Of course, the three-point shooters that I just mentioned, and Maxwell and Pazonka just continuously putting pressure on you, trying to get to the basket and creating for their teammates. They can be a problem, and they are awaiting the winner of Columbus East and Columbus North. East comes into the tournament 6-16. Columbus North is 6-15. Their Sagarins are 193 and 183 respectively. North having the better Sagarin. East Central lumped right in there with them at 190 in that particular ratings. So that cluster there at the top of the bracket, really anybody could find their way into the championship game. But East Central playing at home, having maybe some fresher legs on Friday, I think it's going to give them a really good shot to get into the championship game on Saturday. Now, they have played North and East. They lost to North on the road 56-44, defeated East at home 43-41. So, I don't know that they are looking at one of those two teams saying we definitely want to play one other rather than the other. A really close game at home against East and 12-point loss on the road at North. You think if they play North, East Central's at home. You always play a little bit better on your home floor. Things could be a lot different in that game. East Central overall 2-2 against sectional opponents. They did play Whiteland earlier in the season, lost 57-42, and then they defeated Shelbyville at home recently, 58-51. And to look at those two teams, Shelbyville and Whiteland matched up in the first round tomorrow night. Shelbyville 11-11. Whiteland is 14-10. Whiteland 74th in the Sagarin. Shelbyville's 133. The winner gets Franklin 16-4 with a Sagarin of 22nd in the state. So based on those numbers, Franklin is the favorite in this tournament. But you also have Whiteland that is a very good team. Those two teams played twice already this season, each picking up a 3-point win. So that could be a really fascinating semifinal on Friday night. Looking at Franklin, they have three guards that score most of their points. Micah Davis, maybe the best player in this sectional, best scorer, no doubt, at 25.9 points per game. Wyatt Nicholson and Grant Hunter give Franklin about 20 combined. So big three for Franklin. That's why they're 16-4. They got three guys that can really fill it up. But Whiteland is well balanced on offense. They got four averaging double digits. Those type of teams are really difficult to beat. Jaskarit Banwit, 15.1 points per game. Gavin Stubbe, 13.5. Ethan Edwards at 12.9. And Wyatt McLaughlin at 11.9. Based on that, I'd maybe lean more towards Whiteland being the team to beat in this sectional, just because they got guys that can beat you in a multitude of ways. They're not just leaning on a Micah Davis who's averaging 26 points per game. It's really hard to stop a guy like Micah Davis, but if you can hold him down well below his average, I would think Franklin becomes a lot easier to beat. It should go without saying. But Whiteland, much more difficult to guard because they got four guys that are scoring double-digit points per game. So fascinating sectional. I think East Central is going to benefit from being at home and having the bye. And if they can just get themselves into the championship game on Saturday, playing at home, hopefully a great crowd that is going to give them some great support and another great defensive effort like they had against Greensburg, that maybe they can knock off one of these favorites in St. Leon. Columbus North is the defending champ. They were the host last year. They defeated Whiteland 67-59 in the championship game. Those two teams much different this season. So I'll end talking about this sectional by saying good luck to the Trojans. Looking forward to seeing how they play on Friday night in the semifinals. Let's turn our attention to the Greensburg sectional. This will be sectional 29 in Class 3A. The Pirates Hosted last year, they are the defending champions, defeating Batesville 58-47. And interestingly enough, the way the bracket fell, the same semifinal from last year could end up happening this year. As we'll break down the bracket right now, Greensburg at 17-7 will play Rushville 5-18 in the first game tomorrow night, 7 p.m. On Wednesday night, 8-14 Franklin County will take on 5-19 Connersville, and then Batesville at 17-5 will take on South Dearborn. They're 13-10 entering the tournament. Winner of Greensburg-Rushville will play Lawrenceburg, and then on the bottom half of the bracket, if Franklin County and Batesville advance, that would be the identical semifinal from last year, Lawrenceburg, Greensburg, Franklin County, and Batesville. South Dearborn has something to say about that, or they hope they have something to say about that. Wednesday night, that's where our coverage will start, presented by Ivy Tech Community College. Batesville and South Dearborn, 7:30 tip-off on Wednesday night. We'll hit the air around 7:10 with our pregame coverage. South Dearborn did defeat Batesville 54-51 earlier in the season. I do want to look at this game a little bit more closely here in just a moment, but looking at these first-round games, Greensburg already has a win over Rushville, 38-26, low-scoring affair on February 1st. Kerry Brown has his Lions playing much, much better than their record indicates, so not going to be an easy out, even though they are 5-18, and Greensburg has a much better Sagarin, 129-275 on paper. Greensburg should win by double digits, but anything can happen in the tournament. Franklin County, they're coming off a big win over Connersville, 57-36 last week. It was their regular season finale, so they got to try to beat Connersville two times in a row, which is sometimes easier said than done. I've referenced this a lot in my time here at Eagle Country, but when I was a sophomore at Lawrenceburg, we were in 2A. We played Milan at home the very final game of the regular season and beat them, and then we had to go out and play Milan at Milan in the sectional first round, and they beat us. So again, when you have two teams that are close in talent, I guess, and skill, it's very difficult to win two times in a row, even when you won double digits the last time around. So we'll see how that shakes out. Franklin County, interestingly enough, is actually rated lower in the Sagarin than Connersville, but won by 21 points last week. So there you have that. Take that for what you will. Now we can get to the South Dearborn Batesville game, 54-51. As I mentioned, the first time around, the Knights broke that game open in the second and third quarters. They outscored Batesville 27-17. Batesville performed well in the fourth quarter, just wasn't enough to make the comeback. Brody Tiki was 6 of 8 from 3. He finished with 20 points in that game. Scout Gray chipped in with 14, and Hudson Shackelford had 8 for the Knights. So you get three guys that score like that on a given night, you give yourself a really good chance to win, as Batesville did, because all but 6 of their points came from Cade Kaiser, Sam Johnson, and Jack Grunkmeyer, their three top players. But really, when you look at the statistics in this game, everything was pretty dead even. The only thing that I circled was shots from the three-point line. South Dearborn went 9 of 20, right around 50%. Batesville went 6 of 21. That was really the difference in the game, if you ask me. So should be another good one on Wednesday night. If South Dearborn does win, that will give us a doubleheader on Friday, because we'll already be there for the Lawrenceburg semifinal game. They're at 17-7. Lawrenceburg's been having a fine season, and maybe they're hoping for another crack at Greensburg. They did play them in recent memory, and, well, Lawrenceburg, much like East Central, had control of that game into the fourth quarter, leading 8, 9, 10 points, and just saw it wilt away in the fourth. They end up losing in double overtime. But I think when you look at this Greensburg sectional, maybe for the first time in a long time, every single team should feel pretty decent about moving on in this bracket. I don't know that every single team has a realistic chance of winning the championship, but I'd say more teams have a chance of winning it this year than they have in years past. That's just the way the EIAC was this season. Greensburg, 6-1 in the conference, 8-1 against sectional opponents, because they had a couple games against Batesville. Lawrenceburg, they go 6-3 against sectional opponents. Batesville, 5-3. South Dearborn, 4-3. And then you get to Connersville, Franklin County, and Rushville. They all have losing records against sectional opponents. But looking at those four at the top, Greensburg, Lawrenceburg, Batesville, South Dearborn, I think those are the four that you really have to look at. Batesville and South Dearborn obviously playing in the first round. The winner of that game should feel pretty confident about their chances of getting to the championship game. And again, this is all based on what happened in the regular season with the games that they already played against certain teams and, of course, their Sagarin ratings. So that's where you're going to get a favorite and an underdog in these games. Lawrenceburg and Greensburg, both at 17-7. That could be a big-time toss-up game in the other semifinal. So we are very excited to call this sectional, particularly Wednesday and Friday night. Should Lawrenceburg or South Dearborn be in the title game, we'll return to Greensburg on Saturday as well. But this is going to be a fun one, very, very open. If you get a chance to get out to Greensburg this week or listen to our broadcast, these should be some very, very good games. Class 3A sectional 29, all of our coverage this week presented by Ivy Tech Community College. All right, let's transition to Class 2A sectional 45 at South Ripley. Last year, North Decatur won this particular sectional, defeating Milan 61-37 in the championship game, and those two teams will play the opener tomorrow night, 6:30 sharp. It'll be 13-11 North Decatur versus 4-18 Milan. They did play a game earlier this season. It was a close contest, obviously a rematch from the championship game, but Milan looking to avenge these losses to North Decatur, which has been a thorn in their side, not only on the basketball floor, but football in recent memory as well. Milan still looking for what I would call an elusive big win over North Decatur. Their Sagarin ratings, very, very different. 238 for North Decatur, 330 for Milan. Of course, you got one team that's won 13 games, another that's won four. There's going to be a discrepancy there. But as I mentioned, they did play a close game earlier this season. The big thing for Milan to try to avenge that 57-51 loss is they got to contain Caden Muckerhyde, almost 20 points per game. And I was actually talking to both East Central's head coach and Greensburg's head coach this past Friday. They both mentioned him just chatting basketball unprompted. So this is a young man that can really score the basketball, and he is the motor for this North Decatur team. So if Milan can contain him and, you know, Micah Norman and Gabe Reilly, Ben Reilly, some of the top players for Milan can knock down some shots and score like we know they can, I don't see why Milan couldn't score a big win on Tuesday night and move into the semifinals to play Switzerland County. Speaking of the semifinals, you already have South Ripley and Hauser that's going to play the first game on Friday night at 6 p.m. This one should be an awesome game. Hauser's 182 in the Sagarin, South Ripley 188. Now, South Ripley did beat Hauser by double digits earlier in the season. They're actually 5-0 against sectional opponents, and they've beat everybody by double digits except for Switzerland County, who they only beat by 5 points. But this should be a fantastic matchup in the first round. South Ripley 13-9, Hauser 17-6. You got Trent Moorhead with the ties to South Ripley, with his dad Rob being the superintendent there. So that's going to be fun from that perspective. I've seen this South Ripley team play this season. Cole Henry is absolutely phenomenal. He and Blaine Ward make up one of the best dynamic duos in our area, maybe across the state, because every time they seem to win a game, those young men are combining for close to 50 points in those games. That's the kind of talent that they have. And that's not to say that they're not talented around those guys. Sevy Beach and his coaching staff have done a great job with this team and navigating some injuries this season. But everything is going to start with Cole Henry and Blaine Ward, as it should. But they still have some very capable guys to go along with those two stars. And speaking of stars, Cam Craig leading Switzerland County. They're 13-10 coming into the sectional. Got the bye. They'll await North Decatur or Milan Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Cam Craig has been on fire as of late. We mentioned the 1,000 career points for he and Cole Henry. He got his 1,000th point in a 40-point performance. I can't remember. I think it was a 40-point performance. He had a 37 before that, a 40 before that. He's been absolutely cooking on the offensive end. And just from strictly a star power perspective, if South Ripley were to play Switzerland County in the championship game on Saturday night, Cole Henry, Cam Craig on the same floor, that's pretty good. But this is a very interesting sectional. And I think you're going to see some good basketball out at South Ripley this week. I did want to touch quickly on Sectional 46 at Southwestern. I do believe our sister station, Wiki Country 95.3, going to have some of these games this week. But this is a sectional that features the number 2, number 4, and number 8 teams in Class 2A. Providence, number 4, they're going to kick it off, tip it off against Eastern Pekin on Tuesday. You have Southwestern Hanover, who's hosting number 8 team in the state. They'll play Clarksville on Wednesday, and that's going to be followed by number 2 Brownstown Central against Henryville. Everybody knows about Jack Benter, Brownstown Central star player, going to play at Purdue collegiately. So this is a great sectional. Brownstown Central, despite having two other top 10 teams in this sectional, is a heavy favorite to move on to the regional. But hey, there's going to be some good basketball for sure at Southwestern Hanover this week. And a couple of 1A sectionals to take a look at to round out the show this evening. We got the Edinburgh sectional at sectional 62, featuring Oldenburg and Jacksonville. Oldenburg did get the bye, so they will play Morristown or Southwestern in the semifinals. Oldenburg 11-11 on the season. Morristown 4-18, Southwestern 3-17. Both of their Sagarin ratings well into the 300, so Oldenburg will be a big favorite on Friday night. Jacksonville at 9-14. They'll take on Waldron. They're 9-12. That'll be the first game on Wednesday. They are 296-297 in the Sagarin, so should be a great game there. Then South Decatur at 10-13 will take on Edinburgh, who is 11-10. Now, Jacksonville, Oldenburg, and South Decatur look to be the three favorites, even though I would also put Waldron and Edinburgh in there as teams that could really shake things up in this sectional. Jacksonville's 3-1 against sectional opponents. They have wins over Edinburgh, Waldron, and Oldenburg Academy, but they've lost to South Decatur. Now, South Decatur 4-2, wins over Jacksonville, Morristown, Edinburgh, Southwestern. They've lost to Waldron and Oldenburg. Oldenburg, they've defeated Morristown, Southwestern, Waldron, and South Decatur, but they lost to Jacksonville and Edinburgh. So those three top teams have all essentially defeated one another. Oldenburg and Jacksonville, they played in the championship game last year. Jacksonville won. They're on opposite sides again. From a local standpoint, we'd love to see Oldenburg and Jacksonville in the championship game on Saturday, but I think there's five teams that can legitimately win this sectional, four of them at the bottom of the bracket, so Oldenburg should be pretty happy that they have the bye. And finally, the New Washington sectional, Class 1A, Sectional 62, Rising Sun, already into the semifinals, a six-team sectional. They receive the bye on the top half of the bracket at 6-17. They will await the winner of Crothersville and New Washington on Friday. Crothersville at 384 in the Sagarin, New Washington at 367. Rising Sun's at 349, so they would be a favorite against either one of those teams. On the bottom half of the bracket, big matchup in the first round. Shaw at 9-14 will take on Trinity Lutheran at 11-11. Medora, 9-12, got the bye on the bottom half of the bracket. And similar to the Edinburgh Regional, got Rising Sun 4-1 against sectional opponents. Their one loss comes to Shaw. Shaw's 4-1 against sectional opponents. They lose to Trinity Lutheran. And then Lutheran's 3-1 against sectional opponents, but they lost to Rising Sun. Shaw and Trinity Lutheran, one of those two teams is going to be gone on the first night. Rising Sun will be standing on the opposite side of the bracket from them, so they are hoping that they will get into the championship game on Saturday. They already have wins against New Washington and Crothersville, so they should be confident going into that semifinal game on Friday at 6 p.m., then they should be confident because they got Brody Morris on their team. 17.4 points per game. His backcourt mate, Nate Elliott, averaging 9.1. Great dynamic duo there for the Shiners. I think they're a lot better than the 6-17 record that they have. Now that they're just going to be playing 1A teams that are similar to them, this is a sectional they're going to have a great chance to win, particularly because they only have to win two games, but they've already defeated four teams in this sectional and have been competitive with some of the other teams. You got Philip Kahn from Shaw, 22.9 points per game, their all-time leading scorer. Braden Smith averages 16.5, so that's going to make Shaw a tough out. But Trinity Lutheran, they got three players that are averaging double figures. Hudson Lang at 14.8, Reed Mellencamp at 11.9, and Cohen Gross at 10.3. So you got a couple of teams here that got some offensive firepower. Like I said, though, for Rising Sun, they got to be glad that they have a bye and that the two biggest threats to them winning the sectional, at least on paper, are on the bottom half of the bracket and have to play each other in the first round. So I think we got a chance to see several area teams competing for sectional championships on Saturday. That's always the hope this time of the year. Should be some fascinating games happening this week. We are glad to be out at Greensburg to call sectional 29 in Class 3A. Again, South Dearborn and Batesville coming your way on Wednesday. 7:30 tip-off. We'll hit the air around 7:10 with our pregame coverage. Myself and Steve Geesting will be on the call. Then I'll be joined by my pal Chuck Thomas on Friday. We will have the Lawrenceburg versus Greensburg or Rushville game, 6 o'clock sharp. And if South Dearborn is in the semifinals, doubleheader on Friday night. And we'll see where we go on Saturday. It could be back to Greensburg. It could be to New Washington to call Rising Sun. Could be to St. Leon to call East Central. We will see how it shakes out. But we hope that you enjoyed the show this evening and that you will tune in for our sectional broadcast this week presented by Ivy Tech Community College. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for tuning in to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and only heard on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com.